Once again, good morning, everyone. Nice to see everybody here. And as I said, I hope everybody has a very large appetite. We have a lot of food to be consumed. The message for today is based on the reason for our hope. The reason for our hope. Next Saturday is the Potten Festival. And at the Potten Festival, we will have a table representing our church I think it's under the arena. And John DeGrace and Peter Tatro and Chuck Pepler and many others will be there. And during that time, they will be handing out brochures, be available to people to answer questions. One of the brochures that's going to be handed out, John is handing out to you now, which actually asks a very interesting question. Do you have to go to church to be saved? And I'll let you read that because it's a very good introduction about becoming a Christian. And we're handing out freezies and water, okay. That's the more important part. I wish we had a few freezies right now, actually. Okay, it is warm. So this is happening next Saturday. And one of the things that I think is going to happen is, and hope it does happen, is people might ask you a question. Right? And I know that from experience, and John can give you some much more detailed experiences, that not everybody asks questions, and not everybody picks up tracts, and not everybody even wants to know about who God is and who Jesus Christ is. But there is a question for all of us that we must be prepared to answer. There is one question that we should all be able to answer. And that is in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. It's going to be, you know, if somebody asks you, what do you believe and why? What will your answer be? Peter wrote and told us we better be prepared to give an answer. He says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Amen. But do this with gentleness and respect. Do it with gentleness and respect. Interestingly enough, this word hope is not the hope for winning the lottery. I hope to win. There's no guarantee. No, this word hope, the Greek word behind it is hope, meaning assurance, guarantee. What is the guarantee that you have for your hope in the Lord? What is that guarantee? That's what that word is, right? You know, what is our hope? What kind of hope do most people have today? If you see people around you and we look at world events around us right now, we're rapidly in a declining world. We're in a world where there's war, severe war, destruction, abuse, violence, sex trade, injustice, pollution, drugs, drought, famine, conspiracy theories. I like that word conspiracy theory because what it is just a very fancy set of words that basically says lies. Okay? And who's the author of lies? What hope do those people have who are ill? Or who are facing their last days? What is their hope? Are they afraid? Or are they comfortable and at peace with their future? Where do people turn when everything around them seems to be falling apart? What do you do when we become anxious, overwhelmed? We just can't cope with what's happening around us in our own personal lives and things. And we're blessed in this part of the world, but there are many, many who are overwhelmed. They are depressed. They can't cope. They seek for answers. They want hope. They're feeling hopeless. And most people, do they have an answer? Unfortunately, most people don't. They go to drugs, or they'll go some other way to try and solve that lack of hope, that hopelessness. And unfortunately, when confronted and brought some solutions, or what I believe is the solution, is either rejected or they don't care. They really don't care. How did mankind get to this point? How did we get here? Is there any really hope for us now or in the future? You know, Peter knew the answer, and he wants us to be able to explain the hope that we have, and also to be able to explain it in a way, because it is the only hope for mankind. The only hope for mankind. And there is a basis for that hope. There is an amazing event that took place that gives us and guarantees and assures us that hope. There's another brochure that we as a church have. It's in the back on the table. I printed about 30 of them, I think. And in that brochure, it talks about who we are as a church, what we believe. But it also says what we should know. This is what we should know if somebody ever comes up and asks us, what is your hope? What do you believe? Why do you believe what you believe? And that starts with a series of scriptures. I'll let you read them when you pick up a brochure at the back. Go through it, but I'll go through it very, very quickly. And I know that's a lot of scripture to look at in one fell swoop, but it's the story. It is the gift. It is the basis. It is the foundation for our hope. And our hope comes from the first scripture. And people don't understand this, that they seem to think that God is this fierce, wrathful God. But that's not what God is or who he is. God is love. God is love. And in John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world," not just a few people, he loved the world, "that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes shall not perish." You will not perish, but you will have what? You will have eternal life. Eternal life. That's the hope. But he says, well, why do we need Jesus Christ to have hope? Why did God the Father have to send his Son to this earth? He had to send him because we're all sinners. And I know people don't like to hear that. They don't like to hear this word sin. You know, sin basically says you're transgressing, you're going against God's law. And God's law is a law of love. His law is two basic things. Love God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. But we don't. We don't. We're sinners. Some people might think, well, you know, I lead a pretty good life. I've been generous. I give. I support people. I do some philanthropic stuff, or I volunteer. I really haven't done anything terrible. I haven't murdered anybody. No, God says all have sinned. But then he goes on in Romans chapter 5 verse 8, "But God demonstrates his own love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died." He paid the penalty. He paid the penalty for our sins. So we don't have to pay. We don't have to suffer. He paid. We're clean. When we get in front of the judge, he says, "Get out of here. You're paid. And by the way, your record is wiped clean. You're done." And then in 6:23 of Romans, it says the gift. Yeah, it's a gift. It's a gift of God is eternal life in Christ. We've received a gift. Okay? We were given this freedom. We were given this love. We were given our Creator's Son, who inherits all things. He gave himself up for us so we might have eternal life. That's called salvation. It's not the fact that we're in this building. It's the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross. And it was a gift. And then finally, just to sort of cement the whole thing, Ephesians 2, verse 8, it says, "For it is by grace you've been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's a gift. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." See, and I think I mentioned this before a few weeks ago, sometimes people think that, you know, if you believe in God, the only way you're going to be saved is if you do all kinds of wonderful things. Sacrifice, do penance, pay a bunch of money, you know, feel guilty when you've done something wrong. You cannot save yourself. It's impossible. It's totally impossible. But you know what? It's there. The gift is waiting for you. God, out of his grace, has saved you. What do you have to do? I'll go right back to the very first one. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son." That's a gift. "That whoever believes..." Oops. Number one, you got to believe. "And if you do, you won't perish." You won't perish. Wow. There's one other scripture back in Proverbs. I'm talking about, I counseled a person, unfortunately, a few weeks before he passed away. And he says, "You know, I've been a good guy. I'm pretty good. You know, I'm going to be okay. I'll make it to heaven." And I'm sorry to say, sorry, buddy. See, it says right here, "I have kept..." Who can say? Who can ask this question? Who can really say, "I've kept my heart pure, I am clean and without sin"? Nobody. Sorry, nobody can say that. God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, so that if whoever believes in him shall not perish. So what's our hope? What's our hope? Well, part of our hope is eternal life. That we could get to live forever. Wow. And when does that eternal life begin? Does it begin when we die? It begins now. The minute you become a believer in Jesus Christ and you understand what he did for us, your eternal life begins upon receipt of the Holy Spirit. Once we acknowledge who Jesus Christ is and what he has done, and at the same time acknowledge who we are, we have hope. We have hope. And that hope begins now in our daily life. You see, I started this message about people who are finding that the world around us is in decay, the environment is polluted, people are depressed, things are tough, people are feeling hopeless. You don't have to wait for that eternal life after you go into the next life. You can experience that hope now. You can experience it now. That hope, as it says in Romans 12:12, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer." Yes, just like we started this service, we can go to our Creator and to Jesus Christ in prayer now and claim the hope that we have been given. We can claim that hope that we have been given. Christ promises to deal with our day-to-day struggles. He promises to answer prayer. We've had a prayer this morning already about how a prayer was answered. You've heard how other prayers have been answered in this church by people who have experienced it. There's a hope that says, when things get tough, I can go in prayer to the Creator, to my Savior, and He will hear me, and He will answer. And I'm not going to go into the details, but you know that some things in my own personal life have received some answered prayer that's some pretty big stuff. But let me just bring you to one scripture. Jesus Christ says, look, come to me. Come to me now, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you hope. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. Christ is a loving God. He is God in love. And you'll find rest for your souls. You know, when it says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, because He's the great Creator, He created everything. Of course, anything that we bring to Him has got to be pretty easy and pretty simple for Him and a light burden. But for us, it can be extremely heavy. But we can cry out to God. We can cry out to God and He hears us. I didn't pick the scriptures for today, but the first scripture was we can go and seek Him in and go to Him because He is a refuge for us. He's a refuge. You know, there's once you have Christ in your life and you take that time to pray, you're going to find that that moment that you're on your own and it's quiet, it's the most restful, peaceful, helpful thing that you can do. It gives you that energy and it gives you that hope, the guarantee for the day. You see, our hope is to live with Christ. Our hope is to share in His glory now and forever. So when we speak with others and they, you know, we want to say to them what our hope is, we should be explaining that we just don't bring Christ into our lives, but we let Christ live in us, which He does through the Holy Spirit. Let this mind be in you, He says. We listen to Him because we can go to Him and read His word. When you're really in trials and depression or tough times and you just don't know how to confront something, in the Psalms alone, there are 16 different Psalms, all to do with deliverance and all to do with helping. There are more Psalms on top of that about crying out to God and how He listens and answers. We can go to God for encouragement. We can go to God through His word for comfort, for peace. We can go to God's word for strength and courage. And then He listens to us. He listens to us in answered prayer. In Colossians 1:27, before I get to Colossians 1:27, you know, sometimes you hear this phrase, accept Christ. Have you accepted Christ? You have to accept Christ. That's true. You do. He also asked us to seek Him and find Him. But there's more to it. It's not just accepting Christ in your life. It's trusting Christ in your life. It's believing in Christ in your life. It is loving Christ in your life. That's what Christ is. When you trust, when you believe, when you love Him, when you try to please Him, right? That is what Christ wants us to do. And there He is. He can answer our prayer. He is with us. His presence is with us always. So this is about Christ being in us. Colossians 1 verse 27, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. What's the mystery? Which is Christ in you. And what is it? The hope of glory.
Amen.
The hope of glory. This guarantee when Christ is in us. You see, eternal life, as I said, starts when Christ is in you. Now, the other part of hope and being able to handle our daily lives and as we live in this world that is around us today, there is another hope about eternal life. And it's being able to understand as best as we can with the information that we have been given, one of the things that Jesus Christ did when he came to this earth, and I didn't put the scripture up, I apologize, but it's in Luke chapter 4, verse 43. Jesus Christ said, after he had been praying, and then he came to a group of people and he had to leave. He says, you know what? I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. That's why he was sent. Not just to die on the cross and pay our penalty so that we would have eternal life. It's so that we could have eternal life in the kingdom of God. Wow. That's incredible. And then Jesus went and he preached about the kingdom. He taught about the kingdom. There are parables about the kingdom. The kingdom of God is part of our hope. Not that we just don't have eternal life, but we have eternal life in a kingdom with a king who is a loving king who gave us the gift of life to be with him for eternity. Wow. Isn't that incredible? That's incredible. He said, Jesus Christ said, and this is the key, he said this to Nicodemus. Very truly, I tell you, no one can see, no one can be in the kingdom of God unless what? You're born again. Unless you're born again. And I know in this day and age when somebody comes up to you, oh, that guy's a born again Christian. Oops. And it's sort of done in a negative sort of way. Hang on a second. This born-again person has received the Holy Spirit. He's repented. He's accepted Jesus Christ's sacrifice. That born-again person now has eternal life. You ought to be figuring out how come I can't be born again and what is it that I have to do so that I can have the hope that person has. Incredible. Incredible. The hope of eternal life is a promise. In Titus chapter 1, verse 2. In the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. This has been a promise that God put into place before this earth was even created. That we would have eternal life, that we as his children would live with him forever. What's it going to be like in the kingdom? What will it be like to have eternal life? I'm not going to go through this. Don't be afraid. I know there's food. Okay. But in your handout, on the back of the Apostles' Creed, you will see a description of all the amazing things that we know now. There's a lot more to come. We don't know that, but there's a lot more to come. But here are some of the things that we will eat and drink at Christ's table. We will be given immortal bodies. We will be changed and raised imperishable. We are a chosen people. We will be with the Lord forever. We will reign with him. And the best part of it all is at the very end in Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21 verses 3 and 4. And interestingly enough, this is written in the Old Testament as well. So, why would we think that this is not true? It's a promise. It's a promise that, just like it said in Titus, he does not lie. It's a promise that is given to each and every one of us who has eternal life. That one day, as it says in Revelation 21, starting in verse 3, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. And he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. God will be with us. We will be with him. And then he says, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying or pain. For the old order, the old way, what we have to live with now, has passed away. No more death, mourning, crying, or pain. And we will be with God. And as he says, God himself will be with them and be their God. I will be your God and you shall be my people, it says in Jeremiah. So this is the point. If we're asked, what is the hope that's within you? I don't expect anybody to give a sermon or a message. That takes too long. But something I hope I have said today will have helped you in forming how you will answer what is the hope. Is it the hope of the kingdom? Is that what is your hope and that you want to convey to other people? Is it the hope that each day I can get down on my knees and pray and I'm going to have my prayers answered? Is it the hope that I can be encouraged and comforted by the God's word? Is it the hope that I know that my great creator will come and renew this earth and we will be with him and there will be no more death or crying or tears? What is your hope? But when you explain your hope, remember to say why you have that hope. It's because God the Father loved us and the world and gave his Son. It's because we're sinners, but our sin has been paid for. And we received this amazing gift. That's why we have hope. That's why we have hope. You see, hope is not just for the future, it's for now. When meeting those who have no hope, who are feeling overwhelmed or hopeless, then with respect and gentleness, as it says, share with that person the hope that we have. Not just the hope of being in the kingdom in eternal life, but the hope we receive and the comfort we can depend on now. You see, we can depend on Christ. We can have hope in each of our daily challenges. And we can also look forward to an exciting, adventurous future way beyond what we can imagine, that will last for eternity. Great God, our Father in heaven, we just thank you. We thank you, Father, that your Son died for us, that it was out of your love that you made this possible. It's a gift. We pray that many, many more will receive that gift and that you will give them the hope that you give to each and every one of us. And Father, when we are asked, what is the hope that is in us? May we be ready. From our own personal experiences, from what we have read, what we've prayed, what we've heard, help us to give that answer that will be meaningful to the person who asks it. We just thank you, Father, and we praise you, and we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Psalm
505.
I was singing.